Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome to First Nazarene. Thank you so much for being here today. It's going to be a great day. It's already been a great day. I couldn't help myself as we were watching little Harrison's baptism. I said, I can't wait. We're going to send you guys a video. We always do, so you guys can keep this forever. Can't wait one day to pull it out to see cartwheels and children smiling and loving it. I love that verse. Jesus says, let the kids. Wasn't a cartwheel? All right, I'm sorry. She's correcting me already, I know. Jesus said, let the kids come to me. And I love that we are a church that embodies that and values our families. Well, hey, whether you are here with us every week or it's your first time with us, just a special welcome to you. Thank you for being here and a part of First Nazarene. My name is Galen, and I'm one of the pastors here. Excited to share with you today. If it is your first time, you've come on a great day because we're beginning a new series of messages entitled In Light of Jesus. Here's what I know. Some of you, if you are good Christians reading your Bible, you're reading here in the Old Testament. And if you're anything like me, sometimes when you're reading, you'll read things and say, what was that? Why is this in here? What is happening? And in the midst of this series, what I want to do is to pull out these events, these narratives from the Old Testament, but then view them in light of Jesus. And I think it will help us to see our perspective, our circumstances on today. Maybe our perspective would shift. The things that you face that are in front of you today, maybe if you were to view those in light of Jesus, you would find something helpful from the scriptures to help you to do that. So to begin today, I want to ask you a simple question. It's this. What is the name of the season of life that you are in right now? And I want you to actually think about it, and I want you to actually answer that. My daughter and I would drive into preschool 5 days a week. We've got a decently, it's like 20-minute commute. And so we listen to the same Christian worship radio station every morning. And the host asked this question one day. What would you name the season of life that you are in right now? And our drive was long enough that we can actually hear, you know, some people call in and give their answers. One dad called in. He's got two little kids. And he's like, you know, life is busy, but the name of the season I'm in right now, the whole season, is called Paw Patrol. It is dominating my life. It's dominating this entire season. Little kids TV show. Another mom called in. I think she had 4 or 5 teenagers all in the house at one time. She's like, this season of life is called, how many things can I juggle and what will I drop first? Yep. For me, this season of life is called potty training. This is my 2-year-old. We are potty training this weekend. She's doing phenomenal. She's doing great. She loves her blue seat. Blue's her favorite color, and she loves this. Some of you noticed, first of all, how cute my daughter was. If you didn't, I'm massively offended. But then some of you noticed something, and my wife told me, she goes, Galen, you need to make sure that you say this. People are going to think you're a bad dad. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't want to be a bad dad. And she goes, you need to tell people that that is the seat when we first bought it, not after it had been used. Okay? This is brand new. I promise it was clean. Potty training. What about you? And maybe on a more serious note, maybe for you, you'd name this season gratitude. You're at a place where you're looking at all that God has done for you and you're simply thankful. Gratitude. Maybe for you, it's waiting. I'm just stuck in between and God, I need you to show up. The one thing I would ask is that you're not allowed to name your season busy, okay? Everybody's busy, all right? How are you doing? I'm busy, man. Can't name it busy, but name it something else. And I'd ask you to actually name it. Today, I want to talk about a season that we will all encounter in life. A season that none of us wants to encounter. And I'm not talking about Chicago winter, even though that's mine. A season that we go through that we don't, but we all have to walk through it at some point. The season is the wilderness. Today, how do we view the wilderness in light Jesus. We're going to look in Exodus 16. If you're on the church app and you click Bible, it'll open up straight there, at God's people being freed from slavery in Egypt, headed to the promised land, but stuck in the wilderness, in an in-between place in life, where they've been given a promise, but it's not yet fulfilled. And in some sense, they're waiting, but in some sense, they're working and they're stuck in the middle. They're in the desert. It's a dry place. There's no food. There's not enough resources. For some of you today, you'd say, I would already recognize, I didn't name it the wilderness, but something in my life that's kind of resembles my season right now too. The other thing is, I was studying the Hebrew word for desert, just, it means uninhabited, because nobody lives in the desert, right? It means unsettled. So people go to towns and they settle and they get comfortable, but unsettled. I begin to think how many of us, even if life on the outside is good, how many of us are experiencing a soul that is unsettled? It's the recognition of, you've realized maybe not all is right in the world. You're experiencing pain, tragedy, grief, wondering, doubting. I'm unsettled. What would God have to say to us in the midst of this season? Some of you are there today. Others of you are not, but you need to hear this today to remember for when you are there. There's so much for us to learn from the Israelites' wilderness. Here's a picture for you. This is Egypt, if you don't know your Mideastern maps. I'm sure they didn't have Google Maps back in the day, but just helpful for you. Egypt, and then they were going to go to the Promised Land. You can see Jerusalem up there. So when they leave out of slavery, did you know there was actually a very short route to get there? It was a highway. You see, actually, you can see, well, maybe you can't from that far away. The modern highway actually follows the ancient highway. There's a pretty quick way to get there. 11-day walk. 11 days to get there. And yet they found themselves not going this route. Can you imagine, just like modern day, I don't know how many of you deal with like how well you do on long road trips and like kids in the back, but I'm just coming off of a road trip myself. I'm picturing this, like, you know, spouse right next to you, kid in the back. You're driving, you're leaving. Your kid's like, "Dad, look, the pyramids are so cool. Can we go see them?" Dad's like, "What do you think we were building bricks for every day, son? I never want to see those things again." Or maybe you get up here closer and, you know, this is the Mediterranean. There's probably palm trees and some spas, maybe like a Mediterranean cruise. The wife's like, "Hey, can we like stop, take a detour, take our time? It's beautiful." And if you're anything like me, like, you don't stop for anything. How many of you are those road trip? "We aren't stopping. We don't get gas." Dad's like, "We're not pulling this camel over. Gas is $5.89 right now. We gotta get where we're going." But instead, it was not an easy road, and it was not a quick road. If you want to see the wilderness journey of the Israelites, it actually looked like this. That's how they got there. When they left, they crossed the Red Sea, begin to wander. You see the little green dot? It's because my Google Maps, Mount Sinai is already marked. If somebody wants to go climb Mount Sinai with me at some point, let's go do it. It's on the bucket list. They meet God at Mount Sinai, they travel, and they journey, and an 11-day walk turns into 40 years of wandering in the desert. This is the wilderness. And in case you don't believe me, wilderness, this is the satellite version. You can see it's dry, it's barren, it's the desert. There is nothing here. But God led them into the wilderness. Exodus 16. "Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed through the wilderness of Sin," which is the wilderness around Mount Sinai, between Elim and Mount Sinai. "They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt." So you remember, when they leave Egypt, God parts the Red Sea. He makes a way for them. They walk across on dry land. The Egyptians come in and chase after them, and God closes it, collapses it. A miracle from God. He delivers them. He saves them. They get to witness justice being carried out in front of them. Amazing miracle. Only 1 month later, they find themselves in the wilderness. Now, when you're in the desert, there's not a lot of water. There's not a little food. How many of you are a spouse? Not you, but your spouse, they get what we call hangry. They're hungry and angry combined. Hangry. Yes, I shouldn't ask you to raise your hands. I just put like five of you in the doghouse. I'm so sorry. Sorry. They begin to complain. "What are we doing out here?" Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when things go wrong, what do? We blame other people. If you're going through a season of wilderness, let me tell you, it's okay to complain. But I would say, don't complain to other people. maybe complain to God. And that's prayer. And he's okay. He's not fragile. He can take it. God, here's where I'm at. This is what's happening. It's terrible. And they complain. But the Israelites don't complain to God. Instead, they begin to complain to Moses and Aaron. They say this. The whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. They have a GPS. It's 11 days. What are we doing here? If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. Strong. At least there we sat around pots filled with meat and we ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Strong. It's almost like they had immediately forgotten. Only 1 month before, wait, if God can like part the sea, right? Could he feed us too? So instead of going to God, they complain to somebody else. If you're in the wilderness, take your complaints to God. Voice. I'm convinced more and more lately, all that God requires from us is our honesty and then keep to engage in our relationship with him. So go and be honest with him. Again, he is not fragile. He can take it. When we enter into the wilderness, there is a common lie that I just want to take a moment to correct. The common lie is this. When we experience the wilderness, the things in life that are difficult, the things in life that are painful, the things in life that aren't happening to everybody else, but for some reason it seems to be happening to me right now, we begin to believe that God has abandoned us. Well, if God cared, why would this thing happen? Friend, can I tell you just for a moment, while it seems like that may be true because you're experiencing something that is not good when we have a God that is good, can I remind you that this is a lie? You know, the last thing that Jesus said in Matthew, oftentimes how much do we remember the last thing somebody tells us? Don't forget, last thing Jesus says in Matthew, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And even as Jesus ascends, then he sends the Holy Spirit so that God is at all places at all times, and he is with us in the midst of our difficulty and our heartache as well. When you get the thought, well, God, where are you? I hope by the end of today you see that God actually, I believe, seems to draw closer in these moments. Don't let yourself believe the lie. God has not abandoned you. So the Lord hears the grumbling and the complaining, and he has a response. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to make it rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. Then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the Israelites' complaints. God hears us. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. God says, oh, I've heard you, and even in this season I will provide for you, and I will sustain you. And this is just a side note that I love about this. I would encourage you, when you pray, pray specifically. Ask God for very specific things. And here's why I say that. When you pray for something specific and God delivers and answers that prayer specifically, you have no doubt. Then you will know that this is the Lord your God. What was their complaint? Oh, back in Egypt, we had meat. We had bread. It was amazing. What does God do? Hey, tonight, you'll be eating meat. In the morning, you're going to have some bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I am the God who provides for you. So then what happens? That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. Could you imagine, like, you got your tents up and all of a sudden quail flying in out of nowhere, knocking down camps. The next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance was fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. They're like, what is this? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. So Moses told them, it's the food that the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. And after this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. The Israelites called the food manna. In Hebrew, if you were to say, what is it? It actually sounds like the word manna. And so that's what they called it. What is this? Let's eat it. They called it manna. It was white like coriander seed, and it tasted like honey wafers. I'm not gonna lie, the first time I read this week, this is not the Bible, this is Galen, so calm down for a second. When I read it, tasted like honey wafers, the only picture I could see in my mind was this. Honey wafers every morning in the middle of the desert, God must be providing for us. But the second thing I noticed, it says morning by morning. There it is. Morning by morning, they ate. I thought this was fascinating. God gave them that day what they needed for that day. Sometimes if you're anything like me, I want to be a saver, right? If something tragic were to happen today, I'm still good tomorrow. I've got enough ready to go, right? We want to save. But God said, come back to me every day. Why do you think God would do that? I think in our faith, sometimes we want the long plan. God, you say you've got great plans for me. Can I know them, please? Like for the rest of my life, just lay out the plan in front of me. When I think the reason God says day by day is that if we knew the whole plan, I think we'd say, well, now I've got it, and we would forget about God. We would never go to him for anything else. We've got what we need, right? But instead, he says, come to me morning by morning, day by day. I will give you what you need for that day, because when you see someone every day, a relationship is started. When that person provides for you and sustains you every day, you learn to trust them. You learn that you are dependent on them in this relationship. God gives them what they need for that day. If you're in the midst of wilderness and you're wondering about the long plan and when will I get out of this season? It's terrible, it's dark. Could you trust today? God, give me what I need today. You'll see me through today, and tomorrow is a new day as well, morning by morning. And here's what I've found. I think often we forget God in our familiarity or in our comfort. Think about the Israelites for just a second. They're in the wilderness, but before this, they're in slavery for 400 years. The same thing, day after day after day after day. Living among a culture that was not honoring God, serving them, they begin to intermingle with them some, and they forget about who God is. Until the very end, some people get together, they call out to God, and God brings Moses to deliver them. Sometimes in our life, when we do the same thing, day after day, we get very used to our rhythms, and then we forget to recognize God is the one who gives us what we need anyway, and so we forget. Or secondly, comfort makes us forget God. In the midst of the wilderness, God actually says to them, I think it's Deuteronomy 8, he says, listen, and when you get to that promised land, let me tell you, it's gonna be amazing. When you get there, you're gonna drink from vines that you didn't plant. You're gonna live in amazing walled cities that you did not build. The land's gonna be flowing through milk and honey everywhere. It's gonna be incredible. But when you experience all of it, don't forget the Lord your God. So when we have everything provided for us, man, when you get the car, when you get the house, you have the amazing relationship and life is good, how easy it is for us to forget God, where it came from anyway. We in the human condition, we see everything around us and we begin to worship the created, what God has given us, and it's amazing, we chase after it, but then we forget the Creator, when ultimately we've been designed for relationship with him. So when we've been running after all these things that are creations, we've experienced this hole in our heart. Why? I've got everything the world says I need to be successful. Because you were designed for a relationship with the Creator, not to run after the created. So God says, come to me, don't forget. And here's the hard truth that none of us want to hear. Not in familiarity, not in comfort. So in something that is unusual for us, a new season, a new rhythm, a new pattern, something that's uncomfortable, it's often where we see God the most. We wouldn't like this area, we wouldn't choose this area, but it gives God a chance to reveal himself because we are more in tune with what he's doing in our lives. The pain you feel, the discomfort you have, the grief that you're walking through, the anxiety that you carry should be a call to prayer. God, can you help me here and now, today, with what I need? Would you lean on him and trust in him and don't forget in the wilderness? It's in the wilderness that God reveals his goodness and his faithfulness every day to us. And so the people of Israel ate this manna morning by morning by morning for 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. Because ultimately, you will come out of the wilderness. You will settle somewhere. But what are you learning in the wilderness? What they were learning day by day for 40 years, God is enough. God will sustain us. I know what you're worried about tomorrow. What does Jesus say later? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries about its own. Worry about today. And God is taking care of us today. And for 40 years, you start passing this on to your kids. Where'd this food come from? God provided for us. Do you see it? Do you see his faithfulness? Do you see his goodness? Do you see his provision? They pass it on. Now watch this. For 1,300 years, fast forward 1,300 years later, this event, this 40 years, has been told, it's been retold, it's been enacted and celebrated in the Jewish community. God took care of us. They've been very familiar with this story. And 1,300 years later, Jesus steps in, knowing this story. In John chapter 6, we get another picture. In John chapter 6, Jesus is teaching people in a very remote place. It's far away from the cities. In fact, there starts to be a growing concern that there's not going to be food for anybody because that's how remote they are. And if I'm a disciple, first of all, I'm like, Jesus, it's cool. You're teaching people. You just brought this whole crowd out to follow you. Like, couldn't you have went into like the synagogue, like the church? Then the people can have, you know, like padded seats. You can make your points with a like cool TV, Jesus. Why do we have to be out in the middle of nowhere, a remote place? And the disciples say, Jesus, send the people home. It's too remote out here. So send them home so they can get something to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. What? No, we can't feed them. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money. Do you know how much money that would take anyway, Jesus? He said, what do you have? So they bring it to Jesus, and Jesus takes bread and fish, and he lifts it to heaven. Where's the manna come from? And he prays, and they begin to pass it out. And that day, 5,000 men, probably 15,000 people had enough and were provided for. And the story goes on. Some of you only know that. The next day, Jesus sneaks away because they're actually trying to make him king. Like, if you saw that happen, he's our king. That guy, if he can do that with bread, like, what else can he do? Jesus sneaks away and he goes to the other side of the lake. So the next day, they wake up and like, wait, where'd he go? Jesus is a ninja. He's gone. How do we find him? He's on the other side of the lake. So a couple of them, they go and find him. Jesus, when did you get here? How did you get here so fast? And Jesus, knowing their motives, actually sounds a little cross. He says, you don't care. You're only here because I did the miracle for you. And they're like, well, what is it going to take for us to do miracles too, Jesus? Like, that was really cool. I want to be a part of the work. And Jesus says, the only work that is required of you is to believe. Well, what? So they respond to Jesus in this way. Well, Jesus, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? That's a bold question, isn't it? But don't we ask the same thing sometime? Jesus, what good are you? What could you do for me? Show me something. Show me a sign. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. Scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Man, if you're Jesus, how do you respond? I'm glad that Jesus is full of grace, right? Because if I'm Jesus, I'd be a little snarky, sarcastic in this moment. What are you going to do? Show us something. You know what I would do if I'm Jesus? I'm sorry. Did you eat yesterday? I think you did. Did you not? Yeah. Where do you think that food came from? I'm sorry. You want a sign? I gave it to you. One day later, they forgot. For the Israelites in the wilderness, 1 month later, the God who can part the sea, could he provide for us too? One day later, man, we ate yesterday, but Jesus, where are you at? What can you do today? Friends, when we experience the wilderness and we're in discomfort and pain and despair, it can be so easy to put blinders on. We only see the issue in front of us. If that's you today, can I remind you, don't forget, God has been faithful, hasn't he? He will be faithful. He will forever be faithful. Don't forget. Jesus responds in this way. I tell you the truth. Moses didn't feed you bread. No, we're going to correct that really fast. My father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now they're like, wait, what? There's true bread that gives life to the world? And they say this, Jesus, sir, they said, give us this bread every day. This is the kind of bread we want to eat. It's fascinating. What does Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Every day, today, what we need. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come to me. I am enough for you. I will provide for you. I will sustain you through this time. Come to me. Some of us are looking for the miracle and the miraculous because then I'd believe and that could take me the rest of my life if I could just point back, right? Well, in the wilderness, God provided food every day and the people still doubted and complained. In Jesus' day, he raised the dead in front of their eyes and some of them still didn't believe. So we go day by day. Jesus, I just need you every day. Can you sustain me today? Yes, I am the bread of life. How many times a day do you eat? If you don't eat for a day, Jesus, feed me every day what my soul and my spirit needs. Every day. You know, Jesus may not always give you what you want, but Jesus will give you what you need. I love this. This is from 2 Peter 1:3. By God's divine power, he has given us everything we need for a life of godliness. He will give you what you need. Jesus goes on. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. They had the miracle, but listen, they all died. Anyone who eats the bread of heaven, however, will never die. You see, sometimes we struggle. We want the miraculous and we want answers to prayer and we still should pray them because sometimes Jesus does answer them. But yet we have a hope and a faith that even if he doesn't, and even if it ends in death, we serve the God that pulls us out of death into resurrection for him forever anyway. So we have a hope that is not bankrupt, a hope that we will be with Jesus forever. This is the living bread that comes down from heaven. Today, as we talk about the wilderness, I want to end with two final thoughts for you. Number one, for me, I think that sometimes we as Christians fear being uncomfortable. Well, God, I feel like God may be calling me into this, or my pastor asked me to serve in this area, but it makes me a little uncomfortable. But yet in light of the wilderness, we find out that it's in our discomfort. That's where God meets us, right? That's where we encounter him in a new and different way. The common lie I said earlier is that when we experience the wilderness, we think God has forgotten us. Yet think of it, different perspective. The Israelites walk the 11-day journey. They take the easy road. They get to the promised land. Wow, God delivered us and brought us out that 11-day journey. God cared for us, right? It's amazing, and it still would be. But because God took them through the wilderness, if they don't walk through the wilderness, they never see God part the Red Sea. They never see that God cares for the thing that they were going through to take care of their enemies who oppressed them. If they never walk through the wilderness, they never see God's presence on Mount Sinai. Oh, God is real. He is with us. He's giving us the covenant, the way that we can have relationship with him. If they never experience the wilderness, they never see God healing them from snake bites. When they're thirsty, that he can bring water out of a rock. And when they're hungry, there is food on the ground every day. God was providing for them. And the wilderness was exactly the place where God revealed his goodness and faithfulness. So when you go through something difficult, because you will, don't sit and wait. Oh, I can't wait for this to be over. Someday it'll be different somehow. I'm waiting. Don't long to go back to something, but instead maybe lean in. God, if you did it for them, if you revealed yourself in a new way to them, would you do it for me too? You begin to pray prayers like, God, I don't know where you're at in this. You know I'm in this wilderness. You know I'm uncomfortable. You know I'm in pain. If I'm real honest, I'm beginning to doubt that you trust me. Where are you? And yet, God, I trust you. I lean in. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm trusting that you're doing something in me right now, that you will reveal yourself to me in a new way. You will show me that indeed in a time where nothing is good, you are in fact good, and that you are faithful. And you will carry me through day by day. God, I trust you. Would you pray that today? Secondly, the last thing I want to say about the wilderness is sometimes, and not for everybody and not in every situation, sometimes the wilderness is a setup for the thing that is coming next. Exodus 3 says it this way: the reason they didn't take the easy route, God said, if you take the easy route, you're going to go to war with the Philistines and you're going to see how big and scary and trained for war they are, and you're immediately going to go back to Egypt. And it's fascinating to me. You know, we're more evolved than the ancient people, right? But oftentimes when God calls us into something new, I want you to do this, and the second we step out and experience any discomfort, we go back to what is familiar. And sometimes what is familiar is destructive in our life. And God is trying to set us free from those things. But the wilderness led them on this journey that where they could see, God is taking care of me. He provides for me. He's the God who will fight my battles if I only need be still. He is trustworthy. So that by the time they finally get to the promised land 40 years later, they're ready to do what God has called them to do because they know who they are, they know who their God is, and they know that he will take care of them. The wilderness was the setup for what was to come next for the nation. And I believe that sometimes God does the same thing for us. Friends, some of you, I invite the band to come out and get ready. Some of you today, this message wasn't for you. Life is good. It's great. For you today, here's my invitation. Don't forget God. When life is good, don't forget. Praise him and thank him for his provision anyway. Some of you today, the message wasn't for you, but even as I was speaking, the thought crossed your mind. You know who really needs to hear this today? It's so-and-so. Maybe today, this week, that's the Holy Spirit saying, would you share this with them? Because of their wilderness, they have distanced themselves from God because they believe he doesn't care. But God wants to show them he does. He's right next to them. If they could only hear how close he is. As some of you are here today, it feels like I'm talking straight to you. And I don't know all of you. I don't know your situation. I don't follow you at home. I don't know what's going on in your life. But if you feel like this is for you today, then I trust that that's the Holy Spirit giving you today what you need today to sustain you for today. And if that is you today, here's what I want to give to you. I want to give you a prayer and a battle cry. I heard this song about a month ago, and I've been kind of playing it on repeat since, knowing that this message was coming. What I found is this song can give words. If we don't have words, if we don't know what to pray, the words of radical hope and trust in God in the midst of a season of wilderness when all of life is changing. I want to walk you through this. Here's what it says. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. You remember Jesus when he's teaching at the end of it, he says, those of you that hear my words and put them into practice are like a man who builds his house on a rock, firm foundation. But those of you who are foolish and don't put these words into practice, you're like a man who builds his house on sand. And when the storms come, and they will, the waves and the winds, the house built on sand will collapse. But those built on the firm foundation, and Jesus later is called the cornerstone, your life is built on Jesus. You will endure and stay. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I've put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. This event was 3,300 years ago. Every generation since, God has been faithful. Old timers in the room today, and I'll let you self-identify or not as an old timer. Has he been faithful to you? I think so. People in the middle of life wondering the decisions you've made, has he been faithful? Yeah. Young people, we can know that God will be faithful because the testimonies of the community of the church around us. Faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? Can I tell you today, church? He won't. Secondly, I've got joy in chaos. I've got a peace that makes no sense. When people come around you like, are you doing okay? Like, I'd be struggling if I was you right now. Are you sure you're gonna make it through? Like, yeah, it's tough, but man, I got this peace. No matter what happens, I put my trust in God, my faith in him. He's got me. It's gonna be okay. Philippians says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then you'll experience God's perfect peace, which goes beyond your understanding, a peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not drowning because I'm not held by my own strength. When your strength is gone, I can't go another day. The psalmist says this, even though my words, my flesh may fail, God, you are my portion and my strength forever. Lean on him when you have no strength left. Because I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So every generation and every season. What did you name your season earlier? Is he faithful now? He is. So why would he fail now? Can I tell you, church? He won't. So here's what I want us to do. Would you stand to your feet with me right where you are right now? Some of you today, you can proclaim this song. This is what we believe, and this is what God has done for me. He is faithful. Some of you today, whether you don't know the song or you can't even voice the words, would you simply read the lyrics as your prayer? God, may this be true of me, even if I don't feel it right now. Even if I'm in the midst of the wilderness, God, may this be true for me too. Let's respond and worship together today.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.